clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Rainbows high and deep into the end zone, and it is caught. Caught for a touchdown. A leaping touchdown catch.
Here he goes. He'll be chased, and he is gone. 97 yards. Oh, what a way to start.
Does he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
We are seeing another spectacular effort by Marino, who fires. Touchdown!
Oh, that's loose.
Allen steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lock to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to? Touchdown!
Welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks. I am Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
Was like a bullet out of a gun right there.
Oh, yeah, we're ready to go. It's like, divisional weekend. It's the best weekend in football, some would say.
Talking really – well, wild card certainly wasn't, except for me.
I will say 2 years ago, the divisional round was the best weekend in football. That was the weekend that had the Bills-Chiefs game, but it also had Tennessee-Cincinnati. It had the Green Bay-San Francisco game. It had the Rams-Tampa Bay game.
We don't talk about that game.
Sorry. I'm just saying it was really cool. We have two rematches now of those things.
I'm Josh Lapping.
And this
that's
is
the speed we need to talk at.
Okay.
Like, we're 40 seconds in, and I just introduced myself.
So we need to take 40 seconds
to get to any point.
To any point.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So we're waiting for 30 seconds until we get to Friends Fortune, I obviously got mine wrong because neither of those two games were the highest scoring.
Well, I got mine wrong because Sam Laporta freaking played.
Which is crazy. And caught a touchdown, but like he was used in that game, and he was big in that game, I thought.
You know, I really like him.
Yeah, it was fun. So awesome for the Detroit Lions to win their first playoff game like ever, basically.
People were crying. It was
fun for that like 80-year-old guy who's been like a season ticket holder for 60 years. There was the whole, you know, you're good enough for Detroit, Jared.
That was nice. Did Campbell that one said. Fan really dirty when he was like high-fiving and no one high-fived him? Sorry.
It was a lot of fun. So Super Wild Card weekend may not have been the best weekend of football, but there were a bunch of incredibly good storylines and surprise wins. And, of course, we had a lot of fun with the Green Bay game, which we'll get to. But let's get right into rant, review, call. I have a rave.
Let's go.
I would like to rave about Matthew Stafford,
okay,
who did lose. And I don't want to – he's not much maligned, but he has been maligned because there are a lot of people who don't like Matt Stafford, namely my co-host for most of his career. But I've always been a Stafford guy. I haven't always loved everything that he's done and said, but I've always really loved Stafford. And people are there are throws that he's made the last couple of years that people were like, oh, man, people don't notice this, but like he makes throws like Mahomes. And I'm like, yeah, like he was the guy that did that stuff before Mahomes came in the league. He's always been doing that, right? But Stafford was 367 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks in a game where they were showing on the sideline. At one point, he hit his throwing hand. There were huge cuts on his knuckles of his throwing hand on his pointer finger and his is that your middle finger? In your middle finger. I just flipped Josh off on the podcast. Should I bleep that out?
Yes.
I just beeped Josh off the podcast.
Wow. That will – no. People will get real confused and concerned about that. Don't do that.
But parts of your hand that are, you know, critical to throwing a football accurately. And then at one point they speared his ribs and he had a I don't know if he broke his ribs, but he did have bruised ribs after the game. So like just he's always been a tough guy. I mean, look back to his rookie year with that epic Brady Quinn duel against Cleveland where he got knocked out, but then he had to come out for a play, but they called a timeout and he got to go back in and throw the game winning touchdown to Brandon Pettigrew. That's a deep cut reference. But yeah, I mean, he's just always been a tough guy, and it was just, you know, great and happy for Detroit and the Lions, but Stafford and McVay this season, I think, had just an incredible year. And, you know, McVay's already come out and said, yeah, Stafford's definitely my guy next year. Like, he's going to come back and we're gonna know another run at this. But I don't think I can rave enough about his performance, especially when you include all the injuries that he played through in that game.
Sure.
It was impressive.
Yeah. Way to be, Stafford. Glad you finally gave Detroit that first playoff win. All right, so I have 1.25 raves. My first rave goes out to Mr. Dakota Rain Prescott. No, I'm being serious. I'm not being an a-hole. I'm not giving him a rave for his play in this particular game. I'm giving him a rave because 2 years ago during this time, I came out on this show and I was really upset with how Dak responded to a loss. It was during the whole like throwing things at the refs conversation, and I know he backtracked and apologized a week later and we talked about that. But this week, after this loss, which I think is one of the biggest losses in especially his career, he came out and he defended Mike McCarthy. He said if he's gone, then I have to be gone too. Like I'm just as much a part of that. Dak, outside of that blip, which I was very critical of, has been a really upstanding player, which is why I think I was so critical when he made that mistake. That's probably not totally fair on my part because everyone makes mistakes sometimes.
Sure, but we expect more from people who are deserving of those expectations.
So
Dak is that.
I was so proud and happy. Proud, like he cares if I'm proud of him. I was so happy that the way he
friend
responded,
of the show, Dak Prescott.
The way he responded to that just, I was like, that is really high character stuff.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, really applauded him for
absolutely
that.
Absolutely took it on the chin. And I did, like, it's, you know, obviously we heard the news that McCarthy's coming back, and we can spend a lot of time digging into that another day. but it is that I really specifically appreciated that quote when he was like, if he's on the block, then you might as well throw me to the list too.
Yeah.
Because so I appreciated that.
Like that a lot.
Especially from a guy who had an MVP type season. You know what I mean? He was awesome.
For sure. My rave outside of that is about Matt LaFleur. And that was somebody, the reason I'm talking about this is because I was critical of him during the year. I was critical of how he was coaching scared. He wasn't unleashing the offense. He wasn't really allowing Jordan Love particularly to show what he was or was not. He was coaching not to lose his job. When that went pretty much as far as he could go, they said, well, you know what, let's do it anyways. It obviously spurred a pretty good run after starting 2-6, and I feel like it was on display in full force on Sunday afternoon. Schemed beautifully, people were wide open. They just did he did a great job of attacking Dan Quinn. And because of my critical comments early in the year, I had to give him a rave.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know that there are many other coaches from the last round of the playoffs. That was a weird way to say that. From last week in the playoffs that had a bigger win than Matt LaFleur, for sure. Like, I mean, and I have more to say about them later when we get to those games. But that's absolutely deserving. So, but without further ado, let's get into the games. Let's do a little quick, you know, biggest takeaways from each of the games last week, and then we'll really dive into the games heading into the divisional round, the four matchups.
Yeah.
The first game, Texans hosting the Browns, started off so fun.
Oh, man.
It started off so fun. It looked like it was going to go the distance, but it did not. C.J. Stroud is now the youngest quarterback in NFL history to ever win a playoff game. He was awesome. He was sensational. Definitely listens to the show and used me as motivation all year long, for sure. But I mean, my biggest takeaway is not Stroud, because I expected Stroud to be great at this point. My biggest takeaway was the Joe Flacco train just losing all the rest of the gas that it had. And he was
it's not
really
bad,
good.
Right? I mean,
he was really good for most of the game, and then the one pick on the miscommunication.
It snowballed.
Overthrow, yeah. It just
well, the I, first pick, I truly think he was trying. I don't know if he's come out and said he was trying to throw it away, but like
somebody said he tried to throw it away.
What he was doing,
I
right?
think it was a miscommunication because it looked like the receiver curled in and he was throwing it deeper. So who's to say, really? But I had texted you after that. I said, well, this is either going to be a great comeback or it's going to get even worse because he's going to sling it, and he did, and it threw more picks. But that's the biggest takeaway for me was just heading into this offseason, there's going to be so I don't know that there's going to be an organization with more questions than Cleveland. Because they have had the best defense in the NFL until the last month where they really started to show chinks in the armor. And then this game really, really kind of crumbled. And Joe Flacco was sort of this stabilizing presence. Now what do you do next year? You bringing Joe Flacco back? Is he going to retire? What do you do with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Like you drafted young Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who showed some promise before he got injured, right? Like, so many questions, a lot of them circling the quarterback, but some of them on the defense. They fired their offensive coordinator and their running backs coach, two things that I thought were really weird, but they're making moves there in Cleveland. So, but that was my biggest takeaway, was just the collapse of Cleveland. Like, I know it's impressive from D'Amico and CJ, but I genuinely like expected them to be great. I picked Cleveland, right? But I expected Houston to show up, which they did, just not as much as they did. So
yeah, for sure. I also got that game wrong. I want to talk about the side of the ball real fast that did get those two takeaways, right? I'm really, really impressed with how this young defense has started to gel, come together, especially Willie Anderson Jr. We talked about him. We talked about him during draft time. We talked about him. We talked about how you love the aggressive approach to get the quarterback, then go back up and get him. He has really come on so strong and doing things that we haven't seen in Houston from a rookie since J.J. Watt, which is obviously a great company. He did have a sack against Cleveland, a lot of pressures. I think it was like 7 or 8. I'm just, you know, if they have a chance at beating Baltimore, which is going to be tough. We'll talk about that later.
And which, by the way, they have a chance.
They have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to have to really bring that and pressure and contain Lamar Jackson. So he's going to be a big part of doing that. So,
yeah, like I said, that one started off so promising and then it just fell apart so quickly, which kind of was semi-similar for the Chiefs hosting the Dolphins, the second game on Peacock.
Kind
of. There was a joke that they posted, like, fastest to a certain number of downloads or memberships, and Peacock was one of them for the stream, but also the stream that was, like, the pirated version of it had, like, 10 times the amount of downloads, so it was pretty funny. My cat's trying to knock over
pirating
my tree.
Is wrong,
everybody.
Guys.
It's kind of crazy. but I like Peacock. I think they have some good shows on there. Obviously, if you're an Office fan, you want to have it.
Because they're insulting Peacock.
Oh, what did you say?
I said pirating is wrong.
Oh, yeah. They used to do commercials on DVDs, and I don't think they did it on VHSs, but where it was like a scene from like a 1920s flapper film, and it was like a guy in a suit and a girl dressed up in like traditional 20s, like short haircut, and she's like, I can't be with you, you're a pirate, and it's like he was like stealing pirated entertainment. It's the weirdest thing in the world, but
I don't remember that.
Regardless, this game was kind of close for a little while. Obviously Tua hit the Tyreek touchdown and it remained within striking distance for a while, but it Kansas City was in control the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
Like Miami was within striking distance for most of the game, and then in the second half, it really fell apart. But Kansas City controlled it the whole way, winning by 19 points. My biggest takeaway from this game, though, again, is not the winning team, because I expected the Chiefs to elevate in the playoffs, which they did. It's that this Miami offense could not and would not run the ball. Like we said on the show, I said, you need to do this because this is where Kansas City is vulnerable. They're 24th or 25th in rush defense, and nobody like commits to it against them. And I couldn't believe Miami, who was the number two rushing team in the entire NFL this year, had a guy in Raheem Mostert score, what, 18 rushing touchdowns? Like, and Devon Achane is averaging 20 yards a carry. Like, why wouldn't they commit to that? And so that was so confusing to me. And, you know, we'll see what changes they make in the future. Tua is going to be up for a contract. Do you give it to him? Do you not give it to him? That will be a conversation that we have all offseason long. But for me, I just could not believe that they did not commit to that in this game.
Yeah, something I really loved from this game was a wide receiver coming out that I really, really liked this year that you weren't on as much as I was. Rashee Rice, him just continuing to solidify himself as the number one guy in that offense. But it was also the way that he was playing. When you're thinking about how cold it was, and this isn't an original thought. It was said during the broadcast and everything. But he's going up and catching handballs, right? So, like, when it's negative 10, whatever it was, felt like negative 30, like, to do that, like, we're walking to work in the mornings, and it's 5, and it's awful, right? So, like, be out there playing with no sleeves, and I you have gloves, but then having a football hit your hands, like,
yeah, I should say, for people who like will look at their TV and complain about performances during those games, and listen, I did not play football for a very long time. I put it in high school, right? But I also, when I was in college, used to play flag football or touch football with some of my buddies from the conservatory, and we used to play when it was freezing. It's hard to catch a football when it's freezing. I just want to, like, so, and that's not even, like, the ball, you know, having the velocity that it does a professional quarterbacks with guys hitting you full speed. Okay, so it, absolutely. And he was awesome. And obviously, you know, coming into the season, I thought that Sky Moore would sort of take the next step and be what Rashee has been this year. And you liked Rashee Rice, and, you know, that's what happened. But you're right. Like, he was awesome. And for Kelce, who had 7 catches on 10 targets but dropped the other 3 targets, he was good, but he wasn't making those big plays that we're used to seeing from Kelce.
Yeah.
He was more that security blanket, which is still valuable to the offense and Mahomes for sure, but Rice was the guy making the big plays and scoring the touchdowns, and you're absolutely right, he was awesome in that game. So then we get to the, so I have it listed on the schedule that it was supposed to be. So should I keep going with that or no?
Nah, let's go the real order.
So then we go Packers upset over the Cowboys. Look, I just gotta tell you, we told you it was gonna happen. Because they wore the green jerseys.
And, you know, I was told that Mike and your family wasn't going to listen to the podcast anymore this year. Sorry, guys.
So I'm sorry that you aren't listening, but we love you anyway. And listen, I'm not taking joy in your misery, but I'm taking joy out of how awesome the Packers were. And, you know, we will talk about the Cowboys, and if that's what you're going to go with your big takeaway, that's fine. But for me, it was the Green Bay Packers offense. And I was going to save this stat for when we do the breakdown, but I just want to say this right now. So the Green Bay Packers are the only team in the NFL this year who had 6 pass catchers finish with 300 to 800 receiving yards. Do you know how impossible that is to game plan for? Because when you have 6 guys who are in that range, right, which means you're an impact player, who do you guard? Who do you roll your attention to?
Yeah.
There's no answer for that, right? And so while we are dumping on the Cowboys and we're dumping on Dan Quinn, who it was a pitiful performance from this defense, right? They could not stop Aaron Jones, which, by the way, we also pointed out. They could not stop any of the receivers that Love wanted to go to. It was putrid. But it's a hard team to game plan for because they don't have one guy that they force the ball to. They have 6 people who are all dangerous weapons in the pass game. So I cannot speak enough or lot enough praise onto. I mean, I know you said your rave was Matt LaFleur, but like Love and that offense was just so good the whole game. And I kept saying, like, Dallas is going to eventually score, but the problem is I don't see them slowing down the offense, and they never did, and that's why they didn't win.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing I want to talk about, and unfortunately this is also not about Dallas, but I'm so impressed by, and they've been pretty solid for most of the year, and it's been a thing kind of flying under the radar, is how well the offensive line of Green Bay played. Guys that, I mean, even when David Bakhtiari, he played, I think, 2 games this year. And when he went down, I was like, oh, here we go again. Like, he's not going to play. Like, they're in some trouble. I get that they have Elgton Jenkins. But outside that, like, they don't have somebody that I consider a stud. And maybe they don't right now. Maybe they don't have a bona fide stud. But they played so well. They allowed, like, 9 total pressures or something. No sacks. I think 1 hit, if that. Yeah, 1 hit. Like, against a defensive line, and I get that, you know, when you get behind the chains and you start getting down, it's a little bit harder to pin yours back, but that's a team that gets after quarterbacks. Yeah. So, you know, with Zach Tom and everybody going in there, I'm so pleased with how that turned out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just domination from start to finish, and I know that they ended up scoring at the end 2 or 3 touchdowns, and it looked like it was a 2-possession game, but like, and I hate the concept of garbage time because it's such a stupid debate because it doesn't matter. That's why it's called garbage time. But it's still scoring on an NFL defense, right? So there's like a give and a take with it. That's why I hate the conversation because I understand both sides. But like, it just, the game was never close.
No.
It was never close. Green Bay scored immediately and they were like, oh, okay, let's see how Dallas responds. They didn't. Then Green Bay scored. Then there was a turnover. Then Green Bay scored. Then there was a pick six. Like, it was just, it was over so quick, right? And if you're a Green Bay fan, it was probably so much fun to watch, which I know because I was sitting next to you. but for Dallas, I feel bad.
He's in rare form.
Here's what I'll say. Two quick things about Dallas. One, if you want to hear full Dallas coverage, tune into any major sports network the past 2 weeks. It's their A block every day, right? So there's been plenty of conversation about that. And two, we will cover them more in depth. It's just I really wanted to make sure we talked about the Packers because nobody really is that much,
yeah,
or enough in my opinion.
The news has been about Dallas's failure, right,
which
versus...
is huge news. It is, and it gets ratings and their business. But like the Packers were awesome, and they deserve praise for that. So let's go to the only really good game, the Rams and the Lions. I know you didn't get to watch the start to finish.
I didn't.
It was so much fun. It genuinely was two quarterbacks just slinging it. And like Goff slowed down in the second half, but he still made the key throws at the end to win the game. But it was so much fun. It wasn't just an offensive explosion, right? These were quarterbacks making awesome throws. And then offensive-minded coaches like really scheming up excellent plays for all of their weapons, right? It was just impressive from start to finish from both quarterbacks. And Detroit edged out at the end. They were doing this very... I don't know how much they've been doing this because I haven't watched a ton of Lions football this year, but they do this thing where it was like one drive for Montgomery, one drive for Gibbs, and then they started peppering them both in.
Yeah.
I got the feeling that Ben Johnson scripted two drives to start instead of like... for those of you who don't, you know what that means, like typically to start an NFL game, you script X amount of plays to be like, these are the plays that we're going to run to start the game. It almost felt like Ben Johnson scripted the Montgomery drive and then the Gibbs drive. And then after that, he was just sort of calling what he wanted, which I thought was really fun. Both drives worked, obviously. So it was really fun all around, all the way down to the last second. There were some questions about McVay's game management, which have crept up the last couple of years for sure. But either team deserved to win that game. Yeah. Both quarterbacks were great, and it's a great story for Detroit.
It sure is. I'm going to go more player-specific. And it's a player that I think personifies what it means to be a Lion right now, especially under Dan Campbell. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's been a guy that I've loved for a really long time. I know you have as well. I think he kind of fits that mold of like the perfect wide receiver for us. But 7 catches, 110 yards against the Rams. Like I said, I didn't get to see this one, but I bet those 7 for 110 were really impactful. And wasn't one of like the game-sealing catches by him that kind of...
Yes, the game-sealing catch was Amon-Ra on a 3rd and 8 or 9. Instead of running it to burn more clock, they threw the ball to Amon-Ra for a first
and,
down.
You know, yeah. he has been...
It was almost, I will also say, it almost looked like that, you know, that catch he made when they were 10-1 and it was their first win. It was almost, it felt like that exact route where he went to the line, the sticks, in this scenario, the end zone in the other scenario, and just turned around and sat down and Goff hit him. I mean, it was cool.
That's awesome. A guy that over the last month has just been on a tear and absolutely a big reason why they earned as high seed as they did. So just really shout out to him. Definitely made an impact.
And a guy that helped us win our fantasy season.
Let's go.
Then we go to the other two games that were on Monday. The Bills game was moved. Buffalo hosting the Steelers. We're up 21-0 to start. Ended up winning 31-17. It was a one-score game at one point. And then our guy, Khalil Shakir, phenomenal play to steal the game. I just want to say this. In 1975, 1992, and 1995, the Bills and the Steelers both played in the playoffs in all those years. Each one of those years, the winner of that game went to the Super Bowl.
But so they didn't always win the Super Bowl.
Anyway, it got a little, I don't even want to say the word annoying, but it was a little frustrating that we let Pittsburgh creep in at the end, but a lot of that also happened after even more injuries to our defense, and we were kind of scrambling to figure it out.
Yeah.
I was very encouraged by the version of Allen that we have known in the playoffs, showed up. 3 touchdowns, no picks, no fumbles, and that incredible 50-yard rushing touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly pleased with that. Loved using Knox and Kincaid, and I love Shakir's game for sure. Those are all positives. And McDermott deserves so much credit for how he's patchworked this defense together. I know it was against Mason Rudolph, but that was also a running football team that's been running over everybody, and we shut that down. Like, I'm just very impressed with McDermott. And, you know, we'll have to see injuries heading into this weekend could really end up deciding this football game.
Yeah.
I know Rasul is going to play.
Which is not fair.
Dotson might not play. Terrell Bernard actually has an outside chance to play. We'll see what that happens. So, like, there are a lot of concerns, but I was very impressed with McDermott and how he schemed up this defense, especially once he started missing more players. And then Allen and the offense were awesome. Those are my two things.
Yeah, obviously Allen continued to be Allen, but the A plus Allen versus like the B Allen, right? So we just saw all the good, none of the bad. Did see another cheat code play, which, you know, it is what it is. He's obviously a special guy to be able to do those sorts of things. But the thing that I liked about this that I think only bodes Buffalo really, really well, and it's what you said, it's that they never trailed in this game, right? They always led, but they did face adversity, and they overcame it. And especially these last 2 weeks, I think that is going to be something in their face. They're going to have adversity, and it's whether or not they crumble and something happens where they're trying to be heroes and they turn it over. That's not just Josh Allen. That could happen with anybody, right? If a wide receiver tries to do a little bit too much instead of going down and fumbles, all those things are a possibility. So they faced the adversity and they overcame it instead of trying too hard to do so. They did it the right way. I think that's a really good thing for the team moving forward.
We'll certainly talk about them more heading into the next segment. But rounding it off was the Eagles being just slapped around by the Bucks.
The
biggest thing for me, and did you pick Philly?
I
think I picked the Bucks. I don't remember.
So I thought you picked Philly on the show, but you did pick the Bucks in the pool.
So I'm trying to remember because I think I said, like, I think the Bucks are going to win, but I'm going to pick Philly because this has to stop some point. I don't know. I don't remember. But regardless,
I almost split my pick.
The Bucks were a very popular upset pick for sure.
They were.
The thing I was most surprised with were outside of maybe three players. I think I would say Devonta Smith, who was awesome.
Oh, he balled.
I think I would say Jason Kelsey, and then I think I would say like Jalen Carter, and there's another guy. I'm forgetting his name right now, but there were a couple of guys who I thought were playing very hard. Outside of that, it looked like none of them cared. There were so many missed tackles. There were so many tackles that weren't even attempted by some of the defenders, and it was so disappointing to see for a team that started 10-1. And now I don't know what you do. There's questions about Sirianni's job, and I don't know what you do. But for me, as much as I love Baker and I really want to give him praise, and he was awesome, the Philly crumbled like as much as a team could crumble in the playoffs, and it looked like none of them cared.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to absolutely tip your cap to Baker, and good on him. But when Baker completes a 12-yard pass, which is completely a 12-yard pass, absolutely great, but then a wide receiver shakes two tackles and takes it 60, that's not really on Baker. Like, great, but if the team comes a little more prepared, it's going to be, I'm not going to say that they can't win, it's going to be tougher than it was. But for right now, they're in the Final Four, so in their
should
conference.
Be fun.
Final
Four in their conference.
I don't know what to say. I was you know, shocked that they continued not to run. You said it about McDaniel. I said that they needed to run the ball in Tampa, and they didn't. I think they ran it like 8 times, 10 times, something like that. It was just not enough. I don't know. I was shocked.
So many questions for that team going forward. I don't want to spend too much time on them because they're not back in the playoffs. So let's just get to divisional round. So I have my list of names. So we were getting on the lap last week, remember, instead of keys to victory. Just wanted for the listeners to hear a couple of these other ones. Like I said, divulged into some weird ones. But we've got Lapping and Rossi, lapting up success.
Lapting?
Lapting, yeah. Rossi resonance, Lapping's lap formula.
Ooh, I like that one.
Lapping's fast lane to Rossi's victory.
That's nice. Lapping's fast lane.
We've also got Rossi ready, Lapping steady, lap to victory. That one's fun.
I feel like that's too much about me.
And then we've got Lap Masters, Lapping and Rossi's winning circuit. So
Yeah, I think we need to make these some segments eventually down the road.
Rossing ready, lapping steady.
That sounds pretty cool.
So, lap to victory for the first matchup. Ravens hosting the Texans. So, for me, the key to this game is a fast start for the Ravens. Because in Lamar's losses, he's 1-3 in the playoffs. They have started off so slow.
Sure.
They have not been able to get it going and get the ball rolling. And if the Ravens are able to capture an early lead, they are the number one defense in the NFL in a lot of categories, but especially in sacks. And I know that Stroud is great at avoiding pressure and throwing against the blitz, but they are the number one team in sacks. That's a different animal than you faced all year, except for week one when they did play. And Baltimore won by, I think, like 16, 14, something like that. But if Baltimore can get out to an early lead, then I think that this Cinderella-ish story from the Texans is over. If not, this jumps into upset territory for me very, very quickly.
Sure. This game, I think, can either be super exciting or it's going to be the like, oh, like here it is. Yeah, I hear you about, especially because of the playoff past of Lamar Jackson. I think they have to. Now, this is a team that hasn't fully played in 2 weeks, right? They need to just stick to what they were doing. They don't change it up now. Don't try to get fancy. Don't try to get cute. Just do what you did all year, the way you found success doing it. And if that's smash mouth, that's grounded out, that's grinded out, do that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you're the number one seed. It doesn't matter that you have the crown for your conference. It doesn't matter. Pretend you're the seventh seed and you have to go earn it all. Do it your way.
Dalvin Cook's going to play. Do you think it matters?
Oh, man.
He's had a couple weeks to learn the offense.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I mean, like, I don't think that means that he becomes the bell cow, right? No, but they don't actually, probably, like, really...
Melvin Gordon and Dalvin Cook leading the Baltimore Ravens rushing attack.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I think
it's like one of those things where you see, like, 5 years ago, imagine, like, you say Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Like, somebody said today, they were like, my husband can't come to the phone right now. He's naming random wide receivers with his buddies in the living room. And somebody quote tweeted it with New England Patriots wide receiver Reggie Wayne. And there's a picture of him wearing number 15 in a Pats jersey. It's just so funny how that stuff happens, for sure. I'm going to pick the Ravens. I don't feel good about it, though. I genuinely, like, I'm not going to, I want to make it very clear, not going to be shocked if the Texans win. Have you listened to the Fantasy Footballers? I know I'm more the Fantasy Footballers guy.
Not as of late.
So, but they have this thing where Andy, one of the three hosts, has his almost upset of the week. And he picks a game that, like, nobody expects that other team to win, but he thinks it's going to be like, they're going to be close. Like, if that would be this game for me, is that I genuinely think it could be very, very close. But I'm going to pick Baltimore, and I think I'm going to say 27-23 Baltimore.
The rare 23.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think this one isn't close, unfortunately. I'm going to... For the first time, well, I think I might have picked a game by 10 last week. I think
we both had the Buffalo game by 10. I think
I'm going a full 14 plus here. Ooh, Baltimore.
Okay.
I love CJ Stroud. Yeah. Every time that he's gone against a top defense, that I was like, this, it's going to make him look like a rookie. He hasn't, but being in this environment, I get that he has the playoff win under his belt now, but he's going to a different environment that he's not home, not having the crowd with him and everything. I think the elements are going to have an impact, because I think they're really good at throwing the ball down the field, but now we get some wind going on where if they don't establish the run great, I think this one could get out of hand. I'm going to say 35-21.
All right. Yeah, it'd be sad, but it's already an incredibly successful season absolutely. For the Texans. So we don't have to worry about them too much.
Nothing to be sad about. It's been a great year.
Second game on Saturday, the 49ers hosting the 7-seed Packers, the first 7-seed to win a playoff game ever. So the two things that come down for this is the same keys or getting on the lap from last week, right? For me, is using Aaron Jones and spreading the ball around, right? Because you have all the players to do it. And for the 49ers, for me, it's protect Brock Purdy, because For me, I have questioned Brock all year, and I don't, it's not like some people are doing it, right? I'm not saying he's like a fraud. He's not, like, he's a very good quarterback. But the question has yet to be answered. Is he just another version of Jimmy Garoppolo who manages Shanahan's system very well, or is he able to elevate in this moment, right? Unfortunately, his chance last year was cut short because he got hurt in the title game. But we're going to get to see it here against Green Bay, hopefully. And that's what it comes down to me. If the game is on the line, is Brock going to be able to make the play over Jordan Love? I don't know the answer to that yet, but that's what the game is for me.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. So my key to the game, and this will probably be very minimal. I'd be surprised, actually, if it played a key role, because it hasn't very much this year. It has at times. Don't be afraid to design some plays for Jordan Love to be mobile. And if that means a design quarterback run, great. But get him outside. It'll open things up. But when San Francisco has struggled, it's been against mobile quarterbacks. Jordan Love isn't necessarily like he's not a Lamar Jackson, but he can run a little bit. So don't be afraid. Like I said, even if it's not like you're going north and south, don't be afraid to move that pocket side to side a little bit more than normal, in my opinion. The key for the 49ers is similar to what you said. You got to keep Brock upright, because when Brock Purdy has struggled and when he has thrown or shown some penchants for mistakes, it's when he gets pressured and when he gets hit. So if Green Bay brings that pressure, which they're going to, you got to make sure you're keeping him clean back there, or else it could get ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more, for sure. So how close do you think it is? Or do you think that there's just really no shot and this is going to be ugly?
Yeah, so here we go. Here's the tale of two cities for me. I do think it's going to be ugly. I think Green Bay has had a wonderful season. It's been miraculous. Last Saturday or Sunday, excuse me, was my Super Bowl. At the same time, Green Bay has every single key to make it close. It depends if it's executed correctly. But I do think it's going to be.
All right, you didn't
pick. I am picking San Francisco. I think this is a 10-point game. I think it's going to be 34-24.
Last year in the playoffs, 2022, can you guess the top three receivers for Green Bay? Top four receivers for Green Bay?
For when? The regular season?
When they played in the last year. In the playoffs.
They didn't play in the playoffs last year.
This was the playoff receiving room when sorry, 2 years ago in the 2022 when they played.
So obviously Davante Adams.
He was the number two receiver, 9 catches, 90 yards.
He was the number two. Oh,
yep.
Man.
Yep.
So Aaron Jones
was the number one, 9 for 129.
And then I think there's a huge drop off.
Yes, massive. 8 total catches drop off.
8.
The next two players only had 1 catch each.
Oh, so I know one is Mercedes Lewis.
Yes, he had 1 catch for 0 yards.
And it was a fumble. And it turned the game.
Exactly.
It flipped the game.
Yes.
I don't know who had the other catch.
It was Alan Lazard for 6 yards. and I'm going to do something, because I don't want you to hate me. I'm picking the Green Bay Packers for the upset, because I did it in the pick 'em pool, and I'm going to do them both on the show and the pick 'em pool.
Let's go.
So here's the thing, and you just said it. They have all the pieces to do it, so why not? Why not do it, right? Last time they played this team in the playoffs, they couldn't win because the only two guys that could do it were their number one, who Aaron kept forcing the ball to. And we talked about that in the offseason, that it was an issue. And then Aaron Jones, who was awesome. Now, they still have Aaron Jones, but now they have 6 other – well, I think Aaron Jones is included in that 6. Probably. But they have 5 other guys that can also do it. And I don't see – and again, it's going to come down to if Brock can go toe-for-toe. For me, I do not see this defense being able to stop all 6 guys for Green Bay. So I'm going to pick Green Bay, and I'm going to say Green Bay 24, 49ers 20. 24-20,
wow.
Green Bay wins this game. And everybody goes, whoa, Jordan Love in the NFC title game already?
That would be special.
That's what I'm saying. So then we go to Bucks traveling to Detroit. These are two teams that I wish could both win, because I just like their fun stories. I like Baker. I like everybody pretty much on Detroit. How do you see this game? What's your key getting on the lap, Rossi, lapping, ready, steady?
Yeah, for Detroit, it is continue to spread the ball out. So we talked about the revenge game narrative, right? Where we said, really, it's only Jared Goff. Well, that's true, but they also had Josh Reynolds, who was a former Ram, who really stepped up in a lot of ways. So you talked about that in terms of Green Bay. I get that Sam Laporta played. Let's continue. He hopes to have a good bill of health to continue playing. Don't be afraid to spread it out, because you need to get the ball out, because Tampa, I would be shocked if they don't try to do this the same exact formula of bringing everyone at Goff, because we all heard about how Jalen Hurts struggles against the blitz. We also know that Hurts or Goff does that as well. So you know what? You got to be afraid to not go to that number two, that number three, that number four guy even. So don't be afraid to use all of your weapons. Don't just lock in on the Amon-Ra, which we just said we love. He will get his. Don't feel like you have to get it to Sam Laporta. Make sure you're like, okay, like that guy, just get it. That's my key for the Lions.
The reason that I said that Eagles would lose last week is the same reason that I'm going to say that the Lions could lose this week, is that Todd Bowles loves to blitz, and when Jared Goff is overly blitzed, he struggles, yeah. Right? And so it's going to come down to Ben Johnson. Do you have answers for the blitz where Brian Johnson and Nick Sirianni did not last week? I would expect him to, right? So that's the key for me, is what's your answer for the blitz? Because it's common. Bowles is common with so many different types of blitzes. So it's, what's your answer for that? And then for Tampa Bay, it's, can Mike Evans have an awesome game, to me? Because he didn't last week, and they didn't need it, right? Yeah. Because they had other guys, yep, that stepped up, and 100%. Philly didn't tackle very well. But if Mike Evans can have an awesome, classic Mike Evans game, then I do think this gets very close. Unfortunately, in my pick, I don't think it will be. I think Detroit wins like 31-14.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think that they're on a mission. They didn't realize they were going to get a second game at home. This crowd can just smell it. NFC title game. Maybe we go to the Super Bowl. Like, I think, and in my scenario, they host the NFC championship game, which is crazy. I don't think it ends up being close. I think that they come out again, same thing. They scheme up two different drives, one for Montgomery, one for Gibbs. They both score. Baker can't catch up and has a couple of turnovers, and it falls flat, which I don't want that to happen. Like I said, I wish both teams could win, but I don't think they will. I think Detroit's on a mission. I think Detroit's in the NFC title game.
My key to the game for Tampa is to continue establishing that run game. Don't make it all on Baker. We've seen that Baker can do it, but I don't know if Baker can do it super consistently. So if they become one-dimensional, I think it's going to get fairly tough. So make sure you establish or just continue that run. If it doesn't work, don't be like, well, now we just got to drop back and pass all three times. Even if it is a gain for two, just show them that you're going to continue to try, right? So I'm also gonna go with Detroit in this one. I like it a lot. I think this one is a little bit of a lower scoring game. I'm gonna go with the score of 14-20. Detroit. I will say, okay, in your example, I really like that, yeah, you are mapping out Green Bay's 2000.
Yes.
Yeah, their Super Bowl run. So
don't spoil my pick for next week when I'm right. But yes, I mean, it'll be crazy. It's the NFL playoffs. Something crazy is going to happen, just so everybody knows. I don't know if you're familiar with the NFL playoffs. Something weird is going to happen. So these are the weird thing that's going to happen. And that leaves us with the Buffalo Bills, man, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to do my spiel, and then I'm going to toss it to you.
Let's hear it.
So here's the thing. For those of you who listen to the show, you know that I've had beef with Nick Wright. But I want to make this very clear, and I think I've said this to you privately. I actually really like Nick Wright. I think he is one of the best, if not the best, guys covering sports today, especially football. I think 99% of his opinions are incredibly well-informed and not biased. When he comes to the Bills and the Chiefs, I think he lets some of his bias get in, and that's when I get frustrated. Because Nick Wright tweeted this today. He had plenty to say. He said, since Mahomes got to the Chiefs, every season truly started in the AFC Championship game. Go 2-0 and you're champions, that's a great season. Go 1-1 and you just have a disappointing season. Go 0-1 and you feel like you had a failure. And he says, this season is no different. Sunday will be fun, but the year doesn't start till next week. This is the kind of stuff that drives me bananas. Pick your team for all I care. Don't act like it's... like a foregone conclusion. Yeah. And that's why I'm going to be so fired up on Sunday. Sure. But before I get into this, who do you think should be favored in this game? I don't know if you know who actually is, but who do you think should be favored?
I would think Buffalo is favored.
Okay, so for me, I think the Chiefs should be favored. I think that it should be – I know the Bills are at home. I think the Chiefs should be favored by like 2 points okay. on the road. I think that – that is sure. taking into injuries and previous history.
Sure.
I think that the Chiefs should be favored. I think most people will pick the Chiefs. I should say that. It comes down to this for me. There's three big things. One, Buffalo gave up the least amount of sacks in the entire NFL this year. They only gave up 24. The Chiefs were the second best in sacks. I said that Baltimore was one with 60, but Kansas City had 57. So that is a strength on strength, unstoppable force meets a movable object. That'll be a huge storyline in the game. The second thing I mentioned, Casey, not a great rush defense. They're in the mid to lower 20s, and Buffalo has been great at running the football with James Cook and Josh Allen. So that'll be another thing that to watch. And then the other thing, the flip side of the sacks argument, Casey gave up the second least sacks, second only to Buffalo, and Buffalo had the fourth most sacks in the NFL, just a couple off from that.
Strength for strength all over.
On both sides. So I really think it's going to be which quarterback, like, are the quarterbacks going to be protected, and then can Buffalo or KC take advantage in the run game, right? I'll let you do your thing before I do your pick, but I really think that I think we might be in for another one of those rematches of two years ago. I don't think this is going to be like the AFC title game where they really just dominated us for most of the game. Outside of that, we were up 10-0. Oh, God, if I could just capture the joy I had in that AFC title game 3 or 4 years ago where they went up 10-0 against KC. That was such a joyful moment for me. But those are the keys for me, are getting on the lap.
Yeah, my key for the Bills, this has to do specifically with Josh Allen. And it's that you can't have the Josh Allen phenomena that you play to your competition, right? Where like when he plays the best, he plays like the best. When he plays not the best, he doesn't play like the best. You just need to play the game. It's kind of similar to what I was saying about Baltimore. It doesn't matter who is over there on the other side of the field. You cannot try to be like, I'm going to be better than him. Yeah. Because he will make mistakes if he tries to make it a competition in that fashion. Yeah. So just come out and do what you've been doing, like I said, with the Ravens. I want to sound like a broken record, but that is, I think, important in this round of the playoffs. Especially more so for the Ravens because they hadn't played. But because of the competition, I get in the regular season that Allen has had Mahomes' number, but not in the playoffs. So if he makes it this thing where it's like, oh, I got to do this, something will go wrong. So just step back, say it doesn't matter who we're playing, and just go do what Buffalo has been doing for 2 months, and that is having a successful winning formula. That's my key for Buffalo. My key for Kansas City is exploit everything you can, because Buffalo is going to be down men, down players. Exploit it,
even the players who might play. And after you make your pick, I'm gonna go through the report that was dropped an hour ago. Even if some of those guys play, they're still injured. Sure. So absolutely. Yes.
So you got to take advantage of that. I mostly think it's gonna be over the middle. So Travis has got to, and I'm not even saying like superstar where he had like 5 touchdowns and 6 catches. One, like, he has to catch the ball. And I get that he had 7 out of 10, 3 drops, but he needs to be that guy. If they're going to get this one done.
All that being said, what do you think happens on Sunday night?
Yeah, so because I am really...
Are you prepping for me to call off on Monday? Is the real question, boss.
See, I need you for a meeting on Monday, maybe. I am prepping for you to call off. And I think it's not fair. It's not the same story as Miami, because I don't think they... But it's just not fair that all these injuries happen at this key point in the time of the year. I think Bernard, and I get that there's an outside chance, I'd be shocked. I think he has been the heartbeat since that first month. I think losing him is huge. I think Reed will just exploit that enough. I'm taking Kansas City. Yeah, I think it's going to be 34-28.
Oh, well, at least it's a great game.
Oh, I think I don't think there's a way that it's not a great
game. If we're going to lose, I hope it's close.
I can't see it not being a great game.
So the injury report today, Allen Leonard Floyd, Micah Hyde, and Von Miller were all full participants, so they're all fine for the game. Limited was Tyrell Dodson, Rasul Douglas, Taron Johnson, and our punter. So outside of the punter, all those other limited guys, reports are saying that they're going to play. So Dodson and Rasul Douglas being back are huge. Taron Johnson being fine is also huge. So removing those guys. Christian Benford, who's been our second starting corner, Terrell Bernard, and Gabe Davis, Taylor Rapp, and Baylen Specter all did not practice. Those are the guys that are really up in the air for me. If one or two of those guys play, I'll feel so much better.
Sure.
Specifically, if Bernard does not play, I really liked what I saw from Baylen Specter, so I hope that he can at least go. But I liked what I saw from Klein, even though athletically he's not, you know what I mean, he's a lot older, but he knows where to be.
Sure.
And Dorian Williams showed a lot of flash in that game once he was figuring it out. So I would hope that he also gets some run.
This is also how superstars are made.
I am towing the line here because I've said so much that I believe in McDermott and Bean and their ability to take linebackers. So if guys like Specter and Williams are playing, I believe that they could have awesome games, sure. Right? Because I believe that we've been very good at figuring out how to get linebackers. For me, it comes down to, is Allen going to have the game that he had in the divisional round 2 years ago, or is he going to have the game that he had in the AFC title game 4 years ago, right? And I think he's going to show up. All week I was like, I'm going to have to pick the Chiefs on the show and it's going to break my heart. But I'm picking the Bills.
Let's
because
go.
I know part of this is a homer, but like I genuinely believe that having to win all those games to get here means something. And I genuinely believe like everybody, like the hit piece that was dropped about McDermott, but everybody rallying around him was like, no, that's our coach. You don't do that, right? And like all these injuries, some guys are coming back. Like I just think that this unit is galvanized. And I think that I guarantee you they will listen to Nick Wright's podcast today and were as furious as I was. And that it could be argued that that makes Allen come out and force throws that he shouldn't. But I think that he's just locked in. I think it's going to be another one of those crazy games for the ages. And I think Buffalo wins 35-31. And I genuinely I'm trying to will it into existence. Maybe there's part of that. But like, there's a part of me that's like, this is going to be the year that it happens. Like, he's going to show up and Nick Wright's going to have to apologize for writing us off. And like, maybe that's just a dream that I've been having all week.
I love it.
I think that the way we win it is if Allen shows up like he did. And if he does, I have confidence that he will win.
My mini key to the game, I love that. I love the passion. It's great. My mini key to the game, this is huge for Buffalo, and it's how they come out after halftime.
Yes.
Since my birthday, do you know how many second half touchdowns Kansas City's allowed? December 3rd.
Tell me it's none.
So it's January 18th. They've allowed one.
One.
That includes against Buffalo. They've given up one second half touchdown. Ooh,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
So if you're
ahead. And that happened to us last week, too, where we were 21-0. And, you know, we ended up scoring two more touchdowns. But we were up and slowed down.
It's going to be huge.
It's gonna be tough either way. I'm supposed to play D&D that night, but I think I'm gonna tell them. I think I'm gonna message them and be like, guys, like if we're getting blown out, then yeah, I'll probably leave my buddy's house and just come play D&D. But if it's a game, I'm not leaving. I have to watch this game, right? So we'll see what happens, and we'll see if I try to call off work, but it's fine. let's do the pick and pull update real quick before we do our friend's fortunes, because I want to bring it up on the thing. My friend, speaking of D&D, is still in the lead. So she's 185-93, has 188 points, because again, playoff games are worth more. Josh had the best week in the pick and pull.
Man.
He went 4-2, and he nailed the total score
in
the Monday night game.
Should have still flip the script like I was thinking about with Tampa, but
it's tough. A bunch of us went 3-3. Most of us went 3-3 outside of the top. Our Dallas correspondent's partner, and then another one of my friends as well went 4-2. So still wide open, right? You can still everybody's within a handful of points. So anybody in the top 10 can still leap up if they get a couple of these upsets right. So there's that. But friend's fortune, what you got for us, man?
Friend's fortune. I'm going to say that running backs rule this weekend. We're going to see. So there are four games. I think in four games, I'm going to cheat a little bit because I think this also includes Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see at least 12 rushing touchdowns.
Holy between those four cow. Games.
Yep. Wow. Running rules the day.
That'll be an NFL record. But like, if you're including everybody, you're talking about guys like Josh Allen, who might have a rushing yep. touchdown, Lamar, all these running backs. Got, like,
yeah, CMC, even Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Jones, Mahomes.
Yeah, like,
Allen. You're we're right. We're going to see 12 Jordan rushing Love, touchdowns.
Like, this is really set up. That's a great one. I like that one. I don't like mine as much. I was also going to go with running backs, and I was going to name three specific ones.
I want to hear it.
So three specific ones that I think will all top 150 total yards.
Okay.
James Cook. I think we're really going to – he was huge in the game against KC during the regular season.
Sure.
I think we're really going to feed James Cook both in the passing and running game. CMC, I think, is going to have an awesome game. But I'm also staying in that game with Aaron Jones. I think all three of those backs – rushing, receiving, have over 150 total yards.
Oh, man.
I think they probably also score, but I don't want to include that in the Friends Fortune because that's where I go wrong, where I do too much.
A little
but
too
I think,
much.
I think all three of them will have big
But based on too. Mine, they are going to.
That's true. I will say, to round out the episode, I did get a comment from our Dallas correspondent, Mike, who asked if we had recorded yet. And I was like, we're doing it right now. Do you want me to say anything?
Okay.
Here's what he said.
Yeah.
He said, I know you're going to kill Dak, and he did not have a good game, but I just want to let the record reflect that Dan Quinn's defense allowed the single greatest and most efficient quarterback performance in the history of the postseason from a first-year starter. Dan Quinn cannot come back. Running it back with Dak and McCarthy is fine, but not with a defensive coordinator who has regressed each year he's been there and struggles with the Shanahan McVay tree motion offenses. He said Dak's offense scored 32, and even without the pick six, they still would have only lost by 8. I mean, that's a whole other thing that we could talk about. But then his questions were, what happened to the Dan Quinn defenses that were able to overcome their quarterback throwing picks and another fumble and still win? Where did that go? Then he talked a little bit about not at least being embarrassed the way that Sirianni was, and that's a whole other debate, so we don't have to get into that. His last comment was, Jordan Love might be it. I hope he upsets the 49ers and gets a road rematch with the fighting Dan Campbells. I didn't want to talk too much about Dak because, yeah, Dak didn't play well, right? But he's still... like near the end was able to put some stuff together, right, to remind us that he's, you know, still Dak Prescott.
Sure.
But yeah, I think we both agree that it Dan Campbell on the list of like what's wrong, Dan Campbell's number one, right? Would you say that?
Dan Quinn?
Sorry. Wow. Thank you for correcting me before I kept going. Dan Quinn is number one, right?
I think on Sunday. Yes, I don't know. Know as a whole.
No, yes, that's what I'm saying. On Sunday, he's number one, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, okay. So I agree. I mean, we'll see what happens. I don't think there's been an announcement yet. But yeah, I mean, like, Dak wasn't very good, but not many people were very good in that game. You know what I mean? There have been questions about people thinking that they should move on from Dak. We talked about Darren Orlovsky's problems. I think that's a little much, especially coming from a regular season that he had. There have been questions about Dak in the postseason. He's gotten worse as his postseason appearances have gotten, but
true.
The defense didn't show up at all, and not that was the hugest thing for me. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. On Sunday against the Packers, Dan Quinn and the defense was the biggest problem, not Dak. I will say I don't love McCarthy coming back. I
don't love it either. I just think that, like, him and the offense, Dak and McCarthy have been great as an offensive combination, right? Like, they have been. But there are questions about McCarthy's game management all across the board. There are questions about him, like, at the line of scrimmage. They've talked about how the offense has gotten better because Dak has had more control. Like, there's a lot of questions for McCarthy, and I think that, you know, we don't have to dive too much into this at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But everybody is also agreeing that McCarthy probably should have gone. But we can all be wrong, right?
We can be wrong.
They can turn around next year, but...
They absolutely can.
Yeah.
I understand the last 3 years when you've won 12 games each year, you have to look and be like, well, what is a new person going to do? The thing that is the issue for me is I feel like... This is dramatic, and I'll say it for dramatics. I think this year, in terms of potential coaching free agents, if you want to call them that, this year is a great year. Like, you have the
you
Belichick.
You wanted to say the best you ever, have, didn't you?
I think it probably is. I want to say historic. I think it probably is the most historic. I think this could be a historic
coaching cycle. Even Belichick alone, but then you guys like Vrabel and maybe Pete Carroll and like
Harbaugh, I know you don't love.
And then you've got these young hotshots that we love, like Ben Johnson and Bobby Slowick. Yeah, it really could be
so
historic.
That is the reason why I think retaining and staying a little bit of a mistake.
I agree, and we'll talk about it more for sure. Mike, I hope you are listening. I don't relish you and my family, Cowboy fans, and your defeat. But it was cool watching somebody who loves the Packers and see it happen. And honestly, just like the memes of they can't keep getting away with this for Packers quarterbacks is so funny, because how do they do it? And like again, I told you one of my favorite ones was the Goodwill Hunting one, where he's like, "Do you know how easy this is for me?" And it was like Green Bay Packers drafting quarterbacks. It's just so crazy. They're gonna go 50 years, half a century, having Hall of Fame quarterbacks. It's insane. Anything else you want to add, my friend?
Yeah, no. Let's hope that I'm wrong about Wild Card Weekend and you are right about this weekend, and it's the best weekend.
And let's hope that I'm at work on Monday morning. Thanks for listening to Simultaneous Catch, guys. You can check us out on Twitter at SimultCatch and Instagram Simultaneous Catch. Enjoy what is hopefully the best weekend in football. God bless.